Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Joshua and chapter 5. I'm not going to read all of the chapter. I want to get to the end of the chapter, so I'm just going to summarize a little bit. 40 years in the wilderness. It's done. Finally over. Man, you know, the people that died in the wilderness have died in the wilderness. That whole generation is gone. A new generation is raised up. Joshua is their spiritual leader. Joshua is their military commander. They have crossed over the River Jordan. It was a miracle. The river stopped, they crossed, the waters heaped up on themselves, they crossed over the River Jordan. The men and the women of the Canaanite cities in the land of Canaan, they'd heard what God was doing among the Hebrew people, and there was fear in their heart. Don't have time to read it. Their spirit left them as they understood there was a mighty nation marching toward them with a mandate that they were going to have the land of Canaan, these warlike people. Verse 1 says, neither was there any spirit in them, and their heart melted. So here's what happens. God gives instructions to Joshua. You need to get back to the Bible. You need to get back to the Word of God. You got a whole generation of men. They've not been circumcised. So sharpen the knives and circumcise those men. All the old warriors were gone. All the men that died in the wilderness, they were gone. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant between God and Abraham. The Hebrews had left that covenant. They'd stopped obeying God. So God says to Joshua, circumcise all of the men. And they did. And they rested in the encampment while Jericho wondered what in the world was going on. And then after the resting, they had a time where they celebrated the Passover meal. They remembered, again, being obedient to the Word of God. They were getting prepared to take the city of Jericho, and after that, the entire land of Canaan, the promised land. They were coming out of the wilderness, and now they were going into the promised land. And I want to say this again, just in case you're kind of wondering where I'm going with this. This life, as New Testament Christians, we are called of God to live the abundant life. Live in the land of Canaan. And there are many that have gone back to Egypt, and some are living in the wilderness, just kind of understanding the wisdom of the culture in which we live. And they're groping through. It's going to be a train wreck. I'm telling you, as the pastor that loves you, and I don't want to be doing any funerals for you or doing any counseling that you don't need to go there. You understand, it's going to be a train wreck if you leave Jesus, if you leave God out of your lives. It says here in verse 12. Oh, and by the way, the next morning, the manna stopped. No more quails, no more sweet heavenly manna from heaven every morning. So they took the old corn, they celebrated the Passover. Now Joshua, like any leader, is somewhere overlooking the city of Jericho. Maybe it's the middle of the night. I picture it early morning where he's been there all night, concerned about the battle and what is going to happen. And looking at the great walled cities of Jericho, man, how are we going to evangelize the world? How are we going to reach Chippewa County? And all of a sudden he lifts his eyes and there's a man before him with his sword drawn. And Joshua says to him, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? And the man says, I am the captain of the Lord's hosts. And Joshua fell on his face before the ground, on the ground. The Bible says he worshiped. This is Jesus. With his sword drawn, he's ready to go to battle. And he said, what would you have your servant to do? That's what Joshua said. What do you want me to do? And he said, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. The presence of God. Let's read it. I told you what it says. Read verse 13. And it came to pass. Stand with me, please. Everybody standing. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Ever the warrior. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You understand, God fought the battle of Jericho. Amen. You understand all that God required of his people is they recognize his presence and recognize he's a holy God. My mind runs wild. You know, I can understand God loving righteousness. We worship an incredible God. Amen. I do not understand why he loves me. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. God, we pray that this would be a powerful message. God, I don't want people to leave this morning saying, wow, what a sermon. I want them to be able to honestly in their heart say, wow, what a God. Lord, would you help us as a people to understand that we're in your presence. It can't be casual Christianity. That's never going to reach this world. Lord, would you somehow help us to understand the score and what's going on and what's happening in our very presence. And God, would you get our attention, Lord, that we would be and understand how to get to holy ground. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How to get to the holy ground. How to get to holy ground. I want you to have holy ground in your home. I want you to understand this is holy ground when we meet here in the church house. It's amazing what God does. I walked all over this auditorium this morning. I actually took my shoes off. I read this. I said, man, I'm taking my shoes off. And I walked all over the platform. And God, I just asked God to bless and God to kind of take over and make this area holy. And I know that we don't worship this area. That is not what the angel of the Lord, that is not what Jesus was telling Joshua. Jesus was telling Joshua, you're in the presence of a holy God, buddy. Take off your shoes. Well, he did. I can see this. I can see him not getting off the ground. He's on the ground, right? He's worshiping. What would you have your servant to do? He's laying on the ground. Take off your shoes. I don't think he got up. I think he's laying on the ground, taking his shoes off, and he's right back. And then God tells him how they're going to take Jericho. God is preparing us. It's possible for the third great awakening in the Church of Jesus Christ. It won't happen everywhere. It will only happen where there's a people that understand they're on holy ground. It's so easy to get blinded by the culture and where we're living and watch the news and find out all the debauchery and all that's going on. You think, man, there's no end to this. How can it get any worse? And it keeps getting worse and keeps getting worse. And you're wondering what in the world can happen. But if we would recognize, like Joshua, as he stood before the city of Jericho, wondering what he was going to do, how he was going to fight the battle of great walled cities. And he turns and there's a man standing with a sword in his hand. And he says, are you for us or are you against us? And he said, I'm the captain of the Lord host. If we could just understand that we're in the presence of God. Yeah. And we ought to take our shoes off. I mean, he's holy. I'm not asking you to physically take your shoes off. You know what I'm saying? Take our shoes off in the presence of God. There's no room for me. What an incredible God. I understand he loves righteousness. I can completely understand that. And he loves holiness. But get this. He loves me. And I am not righteous. And I am not holy. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Amen. And the atoning blood of the very Son of God. Praise God for grace. Praise God for mercy. I want to tell you this morning how to get to holy ground. And it's a psalm we've studied before, but let's study in that light this morning. Because it's preparation for what is going to happen with Friend Day. And it's preparation for what's going to happen with Old School. And it's preparation for what is going to happen, with our mission conference. It's preparation for Maplewood Baptist Academy. I'm pretty excited. I think we got like 14 new students, so we're meeting with a family or two today again. And it's kind of like they're coming out of the woodwork. And we're excited. I don't know what God is going to have happen here this year, but I believe he's coming soon. And I believe that if we are obedient, we'll be on holy ground. If we recognize that, the walls of the city of Jericho are going to fall down. Go to Psalm 1. First Psalm. We have an incredible God. Psalm 1. Old Testament hymnal. So much here. How to get onto holy ground. Recognize it. You know, when I first came to Fundamental Baptist Church, January of 1981... in the old tin tabernacle over there, the old building, and a one-step platform with a cement slab floor and folding chairs and the cheapest carpet money could buy on the carpet, on the floor, I got on my knees at the altar and I asked God and I prayed through Psalm 1 because an old preacher told me to do this. I heard this while I was in Bible college and I said, God, we are going to be a Psalm 1 church. Would you bless us? God, would you help me to be a Psalm 1 pastor? And God, would you bless us? And I believe and I know that anything good that has happened at Fundamental, we have been blessed of God. God. I know that. And if you would apply, if you would be a Psalm 1 Christian, then you would be a Christian that would reflect Jesus Christ. I'll tell you who Jesus was. He was big, he was bold, and he was blessed. And that's what God will do in your life, and God will do it in your home, and God will do it in this church if we'll be a Psalm 1 Christian. There's a plan here. It's real simple. I'm not gonna pound any of it into the ground. I'm not going to elaborate on any one position, but I just pray and trust that this morning, as we read through Psalm 1, it'll ring true, and you'll say, I can do that, and I can do that, and I can do that. And I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that. You know, you'll get the right that is right. You'll get it right, and the wrong that is wrong, you'll get that right as well. That'll get out of your life. How to live it, how to be that Psalm 1 Christian. Big, bold, and blessed. There's a plan. The great philosopher, I say this tongue in cheek, Mike Tyson said this when talking about an upcoming fight. He said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. And life is full of getting punched in the face. And if you have your own plan, good luck. Good luck. If you've got your little plan and you're asking God to stamp, you know, to put his stamp of approval on it, he doesn't always do that. He doesn't. Here's God's plan. Blessed is the man, happy is the man, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Big, bold, and blessed. A fresh look at life. And I would just tell you, number one, don't get your advice or don't listen to the world. And don't listen to worldly Christians. That is getting advice from the culture instead of from the Savior. And there is a multitude of people that'll tell you what's on their mind. And they'll tell you how to fix things, and they won't really quote any Bible in its context to help you. They've just got all kinds of ideas. And I'm telling you, that is not where to go. Blessed or happy, and that's in the plural form, blessings, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. There are no shortcuts to winning God's way. You follow the book, and God will be able to bless you. The measure of a man's wealth is not by... You measure the wealth of a man by what he has that money can't buy and death can't take away. A secular worldview is wrong. If you let the culture, the cosmos, dictate your doctrine, it won't be long and you'll think adultery's all right. It won't be long and drinking's okay. Because you'll find preachers that'll tell you, and they'll twist some scripture and they'll tell you, oh yeah, it's nothing wrong with it. We're saved by grace. You know, it won't be long and you'll be picking up on the world standards. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't get advice from the world, nor standeth in the way of sinners. The whole Old Testament, if you'll understand your Bible, just look at it from a bird's eye perspective. The commands that God gave to Israel was to keep them different from the world. They were special. They were chosen. God had big plans for Israel. And so he gave them plans for being separated from the Gentile nations that were around them. And they were going to stick out in the world's culture like a sore thumb again and again and again. That is the very purpose of the church. In order to have the power of God, and we want the power of God, we want to recognize that this is holy ground. In order to have that, we need to be different than the world. I know I've been beating this a lot this summer. Ecclesia means called out assembly. Called out of what? The world, the culture. We're to be different. Man, we're to stick out like sore thumbs, like Old Testament Israel stuck out like sore thumbs. And as a people of God, we need to be holy, not looking for ways to be like the world. We're not on the internet this morning, so let me just preach something like I'd normally preach on Sunday night, at least this one little area. I didn't plan on saying this, but I'm going to say it right now. Man, we have got to be a people that honors God with our dress, with our modesty. And there are certain things. I'm not the Baptist Pope. Your dad, your husband, he's the head of your home. He should and does and should call the shots in your home. What he says is right, what he says is wrong, and I pray you got a man of God leading your home, and that's his responsibility to be that man of God. And I don't run your home, I don't tell you how to dress, where you go. It's been a hot summer, right? That's not what I'm about. I gave up being a pope. I'm not the pope. I'm gonna preach the book, and I'm gonna let the chips fly, and they'll fall where they will. But in order to serve God at Fundamental Baptist Church, there are some standards, and they're not big. Man, just cover yourself up. Don't. And I know what it is sometimes with young girls. If whatever the fashion is, they want to be like the world. I understand that. And I'm just saying that I'm not. It's flesh is what it is, and everybody's got it. And I understand what it is. Maplewood, you know why we got standards? Because it's conducive to education, and we want to honor God. It's that simple. It's that simple. And I would tell you. The wearing things to cover your knee. Remember when it was the bottom of the knee, and then it was the middle of the knee, and then it was the top of the knee, and now it's halfway up the thigh? That is not the knee. That is not where it's, that does not honor God. I love you. Man, I want you to grow out of that, but that does not honor God. You might not like that kind of preaching. I'm sorry, but I need to preach the whole counsel of God. I'm just trying to help you. If your dad, your husband, if he would be honest to think what he thought of or what entered his mind, how his heart felt the first time he saw you dress immodest, he wouldn't, but maybe he had to acclimate, maybe he was avoiding a battle. I have no idea. But let's honor God. Let's recognize we're in holy ground. This is God's work. It's bigger than that. I'm in God's presence. It's not about me, it's not about you. It's about God. Joshua said, "You for us or against us?" He said, "I'm the captain." And he falls down on his face. What would you have your servant to do? Take off your shoes, Joshua. You're on holy ground. We sometimes forget who God is. Not just preaching against or at the ladies this morning. Men need to be modest too, right? Men need to dress right. They need to talk right. You know, you ought to have the kind of speech that brings honor and glory to God. We're biologically different. Hey, the world will tell you we're not. You know there's a movement right now, and it's caught great momentum, where they're trying to take the male and female off birth certificates. I'm thinking, how could it come to this? This is Sodom and Gomorrah. This is exactly what is described in Acts or Genesis in chapter 5 or chapter 6 before God floods the earth. I'm thinking, wow, I cannot believe how far this has come. And we got to be careful as New Testament Christians that we don't acclimate, that we don't become like them. As a child of God, sinner saved by grace, that's all we are. But we need to honor God, understand we're on holy ground. Don't have that secular worldview. That is so easy. That's too easy. Don't have sinful standards. Be big and bold and blessed. There needs to be a point of demarcation where we are different. All right, we have volleyball in our gymnasium. We have public schools that come in here. They don't dress right, but we dress right. We want to honor God. We want to be a testimony. We want to show them. We want to reach their souls. We want to reach them for Jesus. And we want to just, hey, those guys are different over there. It's a small thing, but it's a big thing. And here's the Psalm 1 Christian. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Don't look that way. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And this is easy to do. You get cynical. Everybody's a hypocrite. Man, everybody, you know what? You think what you want, I'll think what I want. You get cynical. People get saved. I don't know if they really got saved. Maybe they're just praying a prayer. And if you're not careful, you get cynical. You sit in the seat of the scornful. By the way, you notice the progression. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth, now he's standing still, in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's doing nothing but being critical, doing nothing but finding fault. And there's always somebody you can find fault with. There's always somebody you can do something better than. Yeah, man, you're not going to live a blessed life that way. You're not going to live a bold life that way. You're not going to have fruit that doesn't wither and fruit that remains as is described in Psalm 1. You're going to be like the chaff that the wind bloweth away. You need to be careful, and I need to be careful as children of God, that we don't develop scornful hearts. And man, that goes on all over. You will grow up and you get old and you become Mr. Grumpy Pants and you aren't going to have any friends. Your relatives will hang around you and that'll be it. And I see people like that all of the time. And they're mad at the world. They're certainly mad at New Testament Christians. And they just build straw men and tear them down. And it's just cynicism in every direction. You say, man, I hope I never get to that point. I hope you don't either. But we're all in danger of that. And that's it's an error. There is a positive. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Turn back to Psalm 119. Would you do that real quickly? Psalm 119. I know they're going to get it up on the monitor, but as many as you can turn there, turn there. Psalm 119. And look at verse 97. People of the book are happy and successful. And I'm not talking about money. People of the book. And the Baptist people have always been people of the book. Now, we're independent Baptists. We know we're not Baptist briders. There's no progression like that. I understand that and you understand that. But the people that identify as New Testament Christians are people of the book. And it says in Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. And it is my meditation all the day. Verse 104, verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Look at verse 129. Jump over there. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. It's 165. Look at 165. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And it's our relationship to this book is our relationship to God. If you're going to be a Psalm 1 Christian, then you delight in the Word of God. You delight in it. You love it. You can't get enough of it. And that's why you go to preaching. That's why you listen to gospel music, by the way, and you meditate on it day and night. Go back to Psalm 1 again. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditates in it. Meditate, that means to the think, to the point that your thoughts actually become words. Okay, here's a problem. Understand this. That's why it's so important to listen to the right kind of music. What kind of music comes to your mind during the day? It's what you've listened to other times. Watch the right kinds of films or videos or television shows or whatever it is, if there is any out there anymore. It's where your mind is, where your heart is. That's where you are. So meditate means to think on it to the point where it's just ready to. You tip your head just a little bit and it spills out your ear. I mean, that's what you're thinking. That's why if you listen to good music, it's always there. If you're reading good scripture, it's always there. You delight in it. You meditate upon it. You cannot get away with it or get away from it. And you become a fruit-bearing, forever flourishing child of God. The Bible is right chock full of great golden truth if we just study it just a little bit. Here's something that's just an illustration of how good the Bible is. How many have ever heard the story of Joseph? Raise your hand. All right, put your hand down. We're Baptists. Say amen if you've heard the story of Joseph.
Amen.
All right, so you know, now did you know this? Joseph is a typology of Jesus Christ. He is the one man in the Bible, no sin is ever recorded in Joseph's life. Now we know he was a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he is a picture of Jesus Christ. Joseph's Egyptian name meant Savior of the world. That's the name they gave him in Egypt. Then a famine came. Joseph is now second in command in Egypt, next to Pharaoh. A famine came to the whole world. And the whole world comes to Egypt looking for help. And the world would come to Pharaoh and say, Pharaoh, we need your help. There's a famine in the land. We're starving to death. And Pharaoh would say, go to Joseph. There's a famine in the land today. People are starving to death in every direction spiritually. And the message is, go to Jesus, the Savior of the world. That's the deepness of the Word of God. Man, it is amazing. Every angle you look at the Scripture, there's greater truth there. It just kind of keeps spilling out. If you meditate upon the Word of God, if you delight in the Word of God, You'll be that blessed man. You set yourself up. You're not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen. Do not listen to the world. They'll give you wrong advice. All right? Or worldly Christians. All right? Sometimes they're the worst. So you don't walk in the coast with the ungodly. You don't stand in the way of sinners. You're different. And that stance doesn't make you holy, but that stance, it draws you to Christ, all right? And I alluded to it in Sunday school this morning. God looketh not on man like man looks on man. You know, God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. You know that context. I hope you understand that. God looks right past the outside to the heart because he knows who the hypocrites are. He isn't saying the outside isn't important. He's saying the outside is important, but make sure the heart is the core. You don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't stand in the way of sinners. And you don't, that's why the outside is important too. And you don't sit in the seat of the scornful. You just become that cynic. But you delight in the law of the Lord and you meditate upon the word of God. It's amazing. It's an amazing life that we are called to live. You know what really is amazing? I am amazed that we still expect God to bless us. Well, we're the sinners that we are. I'm talking about Tim Rader. Oh, God, bless me. Oh, God, I need help here. God, would you help that person over there? And we expect God to bless us. And I'm a sinful man. It's always there. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Here's the promise. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit, or fruitful, in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither. It's going to remain. It's faithful. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Here, gone. Here, gone. Here, gone. Generation after generation. 7 billion people on the planet. Here, gone. Building castles in the sand. Here, gone. Living selfish lives. Here, gone. Then stand at the bema seat of Christ with nothing. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. That's not for them. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Are you a Psalm 1 Christian? Do you recognize that you're on holy ground? Has it ever occurred to you that you got to take your shoes off? Or are you into that casual 21st century wicked Christianity, fleshly Christianity, that brand that isn't seeing people get born again, got some trappings, do some things right, are born again, but it's all on the inside, you know, because you're just kind of living like the world. A born again person living like the world, a born again person that not only is in the wilderness, but they love Egypt. They're back in Egypt with their heart. You know who's got the greatest to give an account for? This is for all of us now. It's the New Testament Christian saved by grace who knows better and goes back to Egypt. Man, that, you think about that. The person that gets born again, man, they're on fire for God. They love God. Man, they're all in. The person that is a Psalm 1 Christian, their whole life is going to be blessed of God. They're not perfect. They're not perfect, but their whole life is going to be blessed of God. They may take a step back once in a while. That's called backsliding. But they get their point in the right direction, and they keep it going, and they get closer and closer to God. And they're fruitful. And their fruit remains. And they're like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, and it just keeps expanding and just keeps getting bigger. And more people, more and more limbs are being added and people brought to the family of God. And it's a great life because we have an incredible God. But if we forget we're on holy ground, we become people of the earth. Take your shoes off in the presence of God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.